It's maybe a little bit different, but evidently pretty similar. Wes Morgan from Rolling Hills Gin, and I did part of this presentation last summer for Mid-South Ginners when they asked me a little bit, and I want to talk about a little more of the financial side of things and things we need to be looking at as gins and some of the things that I've done to try to counteract some of those financial things. But this has been kind of our picture with cottonseed. 1996, first year we ginned, first year I knew anything about a gin. I think I scared Russell and them to death at Consolidated because we ran our own gin and we learned a lot in the process. But 800 pounds plus per bale, just like what Richard said. I chose last year's number, 2015's number, because that was how many seed I sold out of my crop last year. I don't have seed scales. Maybe I need it. I would have known that number a little earlier. But 565 pounds. It wasn't a good year for North Carolina. But we had been seeing a trend down to the low 600s pretty much in the whole state last year. And even this year in each of North Carolina, there was also some problems. And I've heard a lot of 500 numbers. I actually had a guy come in and tell me they had a guy coming through from Australia said they had some gins at 530. And some varieties at less than 500 in some small cases. So I think this is a trend that we're seeing, and it might even continue. This is the only machinery thing that I've got. One of the things we did years ago was Consolidated actually offered a longer rib insert to cover up part of that hole, and we did that, and we don't have a lot of trouble losing small seeds by doing that. Now, you know, we've tried some other things. We've always gone back to this. I think, you know, more research is being done, so I think that we might can get more speed and get keep our smaller seeds with some more research is being done. But right here's the biggest thing that I think we got to worry about as a gin. And like you said, are you losing as much as me and Richard think? I think you are. You know, that's something we need to keep a look at. But this is, you know, 800 pounds, I just chose $250 a ton, 25,000 bales, that's your seed revenue for a year. And, you know, we take that 565 that I did and we keep everything else the same, that's a big difference. And that's 25,000 bale gin, that's around what we gin. So in the last 20 years, the way you look at it is I lost $700,000 worth of income. And I don't know, maybe it's different in North Carolina, but we're not charging that much more for ginning now than we did 20 years ago. We're charging very close to the same as we did. So the only way we can make ends meet and stay in business is we have to get more efficient. And that's what I've been trying to work on. Like Richard said, every summer you work on what was your biggest problem? What do we need to change? And you do that 20, 21 years, and you start getting some things. So the biggest thing we've done is 1996, we had 11 people. Bale, we gin, you know, designed for 25, 30 bales an hour, we probably gin around 25, you know, average kind of a deal. Nowadays, we've got five people in the gin, and we gin 40 bales an hour. Those are where that we got our numbers to make things more efficient, to stay in business and try to keep in business. I've got a 18-year-old son going to college and being an engineer. Hopefully, he's going to come back and keep this thing going. I've done just a lot of little things over the years. I'll share a few of them, some of which I still have, some of which we've moved past. But very first year, we had a guy holding an air cylinder actuator down with his foot to push the bale out. You know, and that was almost a job. A couple of photo eyes, you replace that. You know, you do away with half a job or with a person. Trying to buy a little more time on my bale dock to make my forklift driver more efficient. When I get four bales, I push four bales over out of the way. This will stage 12 bales such that my fork truck doesn't have to crank every four bales. This kind of frees up the time of that person. I actually visited a couple gins in North Carolina and South Carolina in the past month, and I witnessed, now it was because of circumstances, the way the building and the press is let out, the guy with the fork truck had to be there when the fourth bale fell. He had to be there right then. And he grabbed those four bales. Then he moved the fork truck over because when the next bale fell, it would fall over if it didn't have anything to hit. So he stayed there until the next bale fell and hit the fork truck. Then he would drive those four bales over to the warehouse. He had to be back when the fourth bale fell. That guy, all he can do is sit on that fork truck. He cannot do anything else. when you put your person in that situation. So something like this might could help. I've tried to get it where, you know, we can break for lunch and swap around and whatnot, and, you know, we can make the best use of our people. Automatic strappers. I think this is popular. Most everybody has now. That did away with about 3 people at our gym. That was one of the things we did early on. Putting in a feed control. My plant was built without a feed control in the mid-90s. I don't have a suction lane, which is all module feeders. But we found to try to be more efficient, to try to have a cruise control type operation to the gym, that the feed control was a critical component. So we ended up adding one of those. Also adding controls for that feed control to keep the feed control full. It controls the module feeder. The amount of cotton that you're ginning and speed of your gin stands control what's coming out of the feed control. So it makes a very efficient means of getting cotton into the gin instead of surges like we were having before. It's a very smooth, even flow into the gin. And that's helped us keep our bales per day where they need to be. Automatic unwrapper. We looked at what to do for automatic unwrapper. There's 50 different ways of doing this. I was looking for a one-person solution. This is what we decided to choose for our one-person solution. It works really well. It's not always the cheapest option, but, you know, for us, we've had, you know, very little contamination problems, I think, because of using something like this. We can see on top, we're actually cutting on the top. Been to a lot of gins where you're cutting on the bottom, and it works. But I think we had a presentation this morning that showed how jagged that little piece on the inside that's not attached to anything can be. If that's underneath and you use the blade underneath maybe a front-end loader and you cut it, you could have a 3-inch sliver of that nobody ever sees because it's underneath. Your guys are standing up here and you're cutting underneath. So I think that's a potential problem that we face there. So, but this is, I was looking for a one-person solution because that's what we've got in our module lane. So that works. Also, if you notice, when he stands there and unwraps it, he turns around and throws it in a recycle press. All right, I think, you know, recycling this material has been good. Well, it's got a lot of value now. But I've also seen where it took 3 people to do this because they took that, they throw it on the ground to another guy. He drug it all the way to the other end of the building where the press was, and that other guy put it in the press. Well, move that press to where it needs to be. That's just a few wires. Try to have that convenient is what we look to trying to do there. This, you know, there's a market for this now. First few years we were getting a nickel a pound. This year I got 18 cents. So that, you know, it doesn't add a bunch. I mean, that's probably umpteen thousand, hundreds of thousands of dollars that, you know, somebody paid for that, but at least we got some of that value back. I will say I wish this could be recycled here, and I think somebody said somewhere in Texas here they're working on maybe doing that, but I actually have a recycle plant that makes plastic boards 4 miles from my gin. I gave them a bale. They didn't want to use it because of the RFID chips in it and the aluminum foil stickers that were on it. So, you know, we're having to send it to China. So to me, that's a problem maybe we need to look at as well. But I wish it wasn't like that, but that's what I was told. Automatic bagger. This is what we put in. We've got one person on our bale press. You know, everybody talks about, you know, you can gin 40, but I got 40 bales an hour and I got one guy on my press. All right. Another thing we were talking about this morning was the labels, making sure, I think Robbie and I were talking about from the class and office, making sure you got the right thing. I actually had, even doing it the old way, where we were just using one page that was our labels. I had a night crew one time from Mississippi, I hope I don't. But they come in. But I came in one day and we had one number on one side of the bale, one number on the other side of the bale. And I'm like, you pulled it off of one piece of paper. I don't know how you did that, but they managed to do that. So when we started doing this and started adding more automation, I wanted, especially when we started putting a label on each side again, we've got 2 labelers, we want to make sure that it was all the same number. So I've got 3 scanners, one sample, one on the left, one on the right. It's tied to our bale press computer, so we make sure all the numbers are the same. It automatically does all that. So we try to, you know, there again, look for potential problems. Auto-time oat press. I wanted to do away with kind of what I consider a fourth of a job, maybe, guy having to look after the moat press. This moat press just spits out bales with wires tied on them. No operator required. That kind of helped free up from my dock space. We bale up all of our gin trash, okay? and started doing that several years ago. So I've got a one person that does this. Out of my five people, one of them's doing this, okay? Keep that in mind as well. So I wanted to be able to free him up so he could also do the moat and also do the bales if necessary, at least for an hour at a time. So that's kind of what we've worked on doing some of this. But having those markets, and we sell it different ways, different packages, but this has been a revenue stream, be it, you know, maybe a small revenue stream, but at least it's not costing us anything, and we're actually getting a little bit out of this. So that's something else that we've tried to do to try to overcome that. So the only thing that's going to remain the same is change. We look for ways to increase speed, you know, at the risk of, you know, quality issues at the same time. You know, research things to decrease labor. Look at your current process. Walk around your gin while you're ginning. Look for the seed on the floor. Look for, you know, what somebody's doing. If they're walking 17 steps every single bale, why are they walking 17 steps every single bale? And see what you can work on at that. Look carefully for seed losses. Get ready for even smaller maybe seeds. And expect other things to change. Thank you.